Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again on the More Than a Car podcast brought to you by Volkswagen. I am your resident car nut, Kurt McGuinness.
G'day, Kurt. I am somewhat nut, Heather Maltman. Probably just pure nut. If any nut, probably a pistachio.
Why a pistachio?
I just like the fact that they're a little bit green and that's not considered mould. Anyway.
Anywho. So, as you guys would probably know listening at home or in your cars, we aim to discuss all things automotive, but we are definitely not a podcast just for petrol heads.
No.
We are absolutely for everyone.
Which is why I'm here, because if I wasn't here, we probably wouldn't be for everyone.
Oh, come on.
Well, I don't really understand the things, let's be honest.
I think you're selling yourself short. I honestly think that, you know, the good... I guess good car design and good tech is that everybody gets it and everybody picks it up. You're probably just not used to talking about it. So today we're going to be talking about people's love affair with cars I guess how cars are changing our lives.
Okay, well, that sounds like a segue to me. I believe today's topic is check out my Volkswagen tattoo, which makes what makes people love cars so much.
So, as always, we're always going to have interesting stories, facts. We've got a couple of special guests with interviews. And, of course, if you haven't checked it out already, we've got heaps of online extra content. So make sure that you head to your Volkswagen Hub or to the website to listen and see more. So... first things first, what draws people to cars?
The fact that they move.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, you're spot on. Because
really?
Yeah, well, of course. Because ultimately, what is a car if it doesn't move? If it didn't have wheels, it'd basically just be a great big ornament. It'd be a big clump of metal. So, yeah, I think...
that is a valid point.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think we're done. Let's go to the bar.
Oh, you were joking.
Yeah. Okay.
So put this beer back.
Yeah, they are telling us to continue. So let's get into it.
Yep.
You are dead right, because I mean, basically, when cars sort of landed, and certainly the MO for cars is to provide mobility and movement. So people often affiliate activities and going somewhere and seeing something, and it's usually the car that gets them there. So it's pretty understandable that we would sort of have a bit of a love affair with cars. And, you know, to each of us, I guess anybody who has a love of cars, they have a very specific passion for a certain type of car. And, you know, what appeals to one may not appeal to another, but it is a very personal sort of thing. But I think one of the things that we can definitely sort of agree on is that some cars are more iconic than others. It's kind of part of that history, of automotive. And, you know, I mean, if you look at cinema as well, I mean, cars are huge in movies. And,
so many sexy cars in movies that, like, I fell in love with just as a kid.
What was your favoritest car in a movie, and why?
Oh, that's hard. That's a hard one. Oh. Well, you have to give me a second here, because there's a lot of choices to run through here. You've got some of the really sick ideas back in the 80s where they made them talk and stuff, and then you have...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know what it is.
Yep.
Most recently, the new Jurassic World movies where the cars are now these giant spheres.
Oh, yeah.
They took the old school Jeep Wranglers and they turned them into those giant glass spheres, and they're just two seats in a sphere, and the sphere is moving, but everything inside it stays really still.
Yep.
I just love the idea that, like, you're in that and you're not moving, and then it's, like, supposed to be shockproof so that when the dinosaurs hit it and stuff, you don't die. But then people die in them anyway, so didn't work.
I have to admit, I did ask that question when I saw that. I was like, that's really cool, and you can look around and all of that, but surely, you know, this is what, Jurassic Park number four, I think we've got
four
up
or five,
to.
Yeah, something like that.
So dinos have broken quite a few fences by now. Is a Perspex bubble really the... wouldn't you want to be rolling around in a Sherman tank? Like, that's... I just feel that Jurassic Park... and don't get me wrong, Jurassic Park was one of the first movies that I saw of a kid.
Yeah.
That was kind of my... generationally, that was my Star Wars. That was the big movie for me.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Maybe. Like when the dinosaur comes down and eats him off the toilet. Yeah. I was like, man, that's where I would have gone.
You had it coming, yeah. You know. Like,
you really did.
Yep. So,
but yeah, the sphere. What about you? What's your favourite one?
Do you know what? I was a bit of it. Probably surprises no one to hear this, but I love my superheroes, and when I was a kid, Tim Burton's Batman came out in 1989.
The old school Batmobile, yeah, that, with the flame things, yep, out the back of the with the blop blop thing, and the and the circular domey doodad that he
the
sat
bomb,
in.
Yep.
Oh
yeah. So yes. That car for me, and I can remember watching that movie for the first time, and Batman has first rescued, you know, Kim Basinger, and they're blasting back to the Batcave. And there's this shot that they did where they've got this closed sort of country road, and they've just lit up this Batmobile, and it's a really, really great shot. If you haven't seen it, or you haven't seen it in a long time, go back and watch this shot, because this car is absolutely howling. Now, one of the things that obviously hindsight is 2020, and we now have DVD special features and things like that. That car basically was just cobbled together by a whole bunch of different parts and a lot of sort of fiberglass and things like that. So even though it looks really, really planted and really flat and all that sort of stuff, this is not the kind of car that you want to be sort of fanging around in high wind areas, because
really?
You may lift off like a kite. Yeah.
That's a bit depressing.
I think we can both agree that cars have a way of getting into the subconscious, and and also, you know, have a rightful place within popular culture. But as we touched on, some cars are more iconic than others. So I recently had a chat with a guy called Matthew Lombard, and he is, and this is another, we seem to be getting people with really, really cool job titles in this podcast. I'm almost a little bit jealous, because car nerd is just not something I can put on a business card. But this guy is the curator of the National Motor Museum.
What draws the most attention? Well, right now we've got a Bugatti Veyron on display. So instantly we could see that our numbers went up, because that draws people's attention.
Yeah,
Bugatti Veyron, I can't really see anyone anywhere else unless I maybe go to Monaco, where they're parked along the side of the road like every other
they
car.
They are indeed, yeah.
So yes, that brings people's attention to the car. They come up to see us. But long, long, long term, it's many cases more ordinary cars, and that's due to people learning to drive in them, people going on family holidays in them. There's, you know, a strong sense of nostalgia, and it's not uncommon to walk past, you know, elderly people, you would say, who say, "Oh, yeah, I learned to drive in one of those, and it was in 1935 or whatever." There is no one answer, and I would be remiss to try and lead you to that point.
He's a great showman, that bloke. Always leave them wanting more. Didn't really sort of tell me what was the most iconic car, but did actually sort of, I guess, point to the fact that iconic means many things for different people. So what about, okay, so we talked a little bit before about cars in movies.
Yes.
I mean, we could go on all day about cars in popular culture and movies and gaming and things like that. I mean, we spoke about the Batmobile. Obviously, every time there's a new Batman on our screens, there's a new version of
there's
the Batmobile.
A new car.
I guess, I mean, look, Batman is definitely probably one of the greatest cinematic examples of cars. But you know,
and he's a scientist.
Yeah, he's a scientist, and he's rich, and he just kind of, you know, does stuff. But Steve McQueen. So Steve McQueen has been and is synonymous with automotive.
Do you want to hear a really interesting fact about that young man?
Lay it on me.
Okay, he was a truck driver before he was an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
That would explain the ciggy habit. But, you know, Bullitt was probably one of his most famous car movies. I mean, he was in a little film called Le Mans as well, which, you know, was about the famous race. But Bullitt's actually one that probably sticks out with me, simply because I've always loved the idea of the great car chase. And Bullitt has arguably probably the greatest car chase of all time on movie. You could go in to say that, you know, I'm sure there's probably people out there that would say the Fast and Furious movies have the greatest car chases of all time. They'd be wrong.
Very wrong.
But you could argue that, but Bullitt was basically one of those car movies. Well, actually, it wasn't even a car movie. It was a detective flick. But it had about I think it's about 7 minutes of car chasing down sort of the streets in San Francisco.
Wow.
And that's where that whole sort of cars getting air off roads and things like that, that was Bullitt. That's basically where that sort of
that idea came from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had car movies before that and we had car movies certainly after that. Mm. But Bullitt was the one that really sort of did it and also probably solidified the legend of the Mustang as well.
Oh, Mustang.
Let's jump on to our next section, which is about cars as art. So one of the more sort of popular things that car companies do is collaborations with famous artists.
No, they don't. Yeah, absolutely. Really?
Yeah. So car companies have done two sort of really big things in terms of collaborations. One is the branded car.
Yeah.
So some of them are great and some of them are terrible. So, you know, we've had a Reebok car. We've had...
You're kidding.
No. There was a Sports Girl Barina, I think it was, from memory. And look, you know, shameless plug here. We have in our range, we have a Volkswagen Polo Beats. So Beats by Dr. Dre.
You're kidding.
No. And this isn't just a sticker pack. This is actually a car that has a full-on engineered Beats sound system in the car. So
you want to see the sports car?
Yeah,
the sports car one is hilarious. It's so 90s. And
there's
on the door, it's just a bunch of like colored, you know how they've got all the colors in the rainbow, like the red, the blue, the yellow, the green. It's a bunch of like girls in figurines jumping from the bonnet onto the side strip of the door, you know where they put the strips?
Nah.
Yeah, and they're doing like cartwheels and dances and she's like jumping off the bonnet and it's like, no, it's a no.
Yeah.
It's a no. I'm not that active.
No.
I don't know how to do life that well.
I don't like to be reminded of how inactive I am.
Yeah, I try to avoid that on a daily basis.
Especially if I'm getting into a car, it means that I don't want to walk there.
Exactly.
I want to be reminded of fit and healthy, happy people. Bugger that. So, art cars. Let's talk a little bit about artists and the cars that they have, thrown their artwork behind. So, BMW particularly are quite famous for doing a number of sort of art cars over the years. So, basically what they do is they take some of their more sort of sporty cars and they hand them over to famous artists and the artists paint them in certain ways. So,
is that this one that I'm looking
at?
It
is, yeah. So,
we're
actually looking at a couple of these photos now. So, make sure you head to the website to see what we're talking about.
Oh, you got to see this. There's an Andy Warhol.
Which is, when you think about some of the work that Andy Warhol has done, probably one of the most iconic artists of all time.
The guy just loved soup.
I'm not down with his BMW art car. I would have to side with Jeff Koontz for this one. So actually, I will sort of just on the art car thing. So Volkswagen brought out last year in Australia and actually around the world a new saloon. So it's a luxury saloon. It's a fastback. So basically, it's not a complete sedan. It's a little bit more coupe at the back.
Like a halfway between a hatch and the four-door or something?
Sort of, yeah. It's a four-door car. Think of it as a coupe. It's like a four-door sedan-sized low-slung coupe. We called it the Arteon. So
I know the Arteon.
Yep. So the art and the Arteon is the art. That's the art of the design. And one of the things that Volkswagen in Germany did to actually launch this car was they partnered with a really famous photographer called Pete Eckert. Mr. Pete is amazing at what he does because, A, he's a great photographer, but, B, probably more interestingly, he's blind. So So a blind photographer. He uses a range of sort of lighting effects and things like that to light his car. He uses different exposures to sort of change the, the effect of the photo.
But how?
He uses the force, I guess you could say. He feels the lines of the car, he gets a sense for it, and then he snaps away.
One day we're going to find out that he can really see and he's been fooling us all this whole time.
Well, you know what? I would actually probably almost say that in a way he can see, but it's not sort of what we see. He sees something different. And you can see that in his photos as well.
Really?
I mean, these are really, really cool photos.
That's so special.
So anybody out there, Google Volkswagen Arteon Pete Eckert you'll see some really, really cool photos with that car. Let's move on to our next bit. So, Heather, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's something that we've been discussing a little bit today, and we've been asking some of our guests.
Yes, that smell is me.
Yeah.
It actually is.
Like, I was going to say something.
No, it's pretty rank.
You either need some Rexona or some holy water. I'm not sure which.
Yes, the power of Christ compels you. Go. Yes, ask. Yes.
So my question to you is, what do you think makes a vehicle iconic?
Okay, to me, in the world of Heather Maltman, what would make a car iconic is something about it that you're never, ever going to be able to see in another car ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so special and so different that it doesn't matter how cool the next car or the next model is, there was something about that one in particular that you can't replicate. It's just really special. Something along those lines, I don't know. I'm probably getting a bit too metaphorical here. It's the artist in me.
No, I'd agree with you. I think that, you know, it's, iconic is kind of in the... Well, it's not quite in the eye of the beholder. It's almost in the eye of the most beholders, I guess, in a way, because ultimately, to be iconic, you have to be remembered and so on and so on. But over the years, there's been plenty of cars that have, for whatever reason, have sort of moved into that kind of iconic status. Probably from a Volkswagen perspective, the Beetle is probably the most iconic car of all time. I mean,
definitely. That one or the Combi. It's a real toss up for me, but I think that's because I've lived around beaches my whole freaking life.
Yeah.
So the Beetle is more city car, Combi is more beach living.
Yep.
Tripping.
And both of them were developed, I guess, for very, very similar sort of purposes. It was back to this idea, and it actually goes back to that whole sort of thing that you were talking about to begin with, was mobility. Both these cars were developed to be unpretentious, simple, easy to sort of use cars or modes of transport. So we actually had a chat with Don Loeffler, who is an automotive novelist, about such things. So have a listen to what Don says about the Beetle.
Oh, I can remember when they came out. They came out in December 1953, and I thought, this is the most ridiculous looking monstrosity I've ever seen. I could not understand how anyone would have the cheek to bring such an ugly little thing to Australia. And this is what happened. People just turned up their nose. They laughed at them. And it was only in the Red X trials where the whole tables were turned and people suddenly opened their eyes and had another look. And they thought, wow, they may be ugly little ducklings, but by Jove's, they've got something.
Jeez, tell us what you really think next time.
I know Don kept it real. He really laid it down. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't really sort of completely share his views on the Beatles, but that was I guess the sentiment at the time. It was, and you know, it goes back to this idea that we were talking about before about Bauhausian sort of design philosophy,
sure,
which is form follows function. So function is the true sort of meaning of a product, and that's what it's built for. And then anything else is almost a little bit superfluous. So the Red X trials are, if you can imagine, a rally event. Basically, that's what it is. They're brutal. They're tough. The Beatles actually used to race in the Red X trials. So that was kind of considered at the time a bit of a benchmark for testing a car's durability and strength and performance. The little Beetle that could was a real success story in the Red X trials. So that, as Don sort of touched on, that really sort of took it from being what people would have considered a very quirky sort of design of car to, wow, this thing is bulletproof. So let's go on to another one of those iconic cars, and the one that I love the most, the Combi. Any opportunity I get to do something with the Combis and even sort of talk to people about their Combis, one of the things that I've having worked for Volkswagen for a number of years now, and also just being in that sort of auto landscape for well over a decade now, is that everybody has a Combi story. Doesn't matter who you are, you may not have owned one, but you either knew someone who had one, you had an adventure in one, or you had some sort of memorable moment with a combi van. And it's one of those sort of really, really cool things because from a historical point of view, there was always somebody who, you know, oh, well, I can remember having one of those or whatever. And then get as we sort of, you know, new generations of people come through, it's something else. You could basically do anything with that thing. It was like a box on wheels. It had a lot of personality, and we've had, we're actually up to, essentially now we're up to our sixth generation of of transporters. So the original combi was what we call a Type 1 transporter. We're now into generation 6. And one of the things that which delights me no end is that we get to bring back a lot of those sort of elements with a combi. So this year we actually unleashed a new sort of combi on the world, which was it's called a Multivan 70 Years. And the reason that we called it 70 Years was because it's actually the 70th anniversary of the original sketch of the combi van. So,
Really?
Yeah. So this is a modern transporter multivan, so people mover.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah, two-tone. There's a couple of different color choices, but yellow and white is kind of the iconic one.
It's still got the little sunroof at the front too. Yep. That's cute.
Yep. I really love this car. And one of the things that our friends in Volkswagen, you know, Germany and certainly here in Australia as well, is that those cars are now starting to come back with what they call the Goodnight Pack. So basically you can drop the seats. This is a seven-seater people mover van. Mm-hmm. You can actually drop the seats and it turns into a bed. We actually unveiled this this car probably a couple of months ago now at an old combi rally on Manly Beach, so Manly in Sydney.
Good choice.
It was a really, really fun day because we had a whole bunch of old schoolers down there with their old combi vans.
My dad would have been there.
Oh, just such an awesome day. I mean, it was a perfect day because it was actually done as part of Sydney Board Riders Week. So it was a big surf competition.
That's run by my adopted father. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Griggs. He like looks after most of that. Like it's part of the Longboarders Association and everything. Yeah.
Well, there you go. This is sort of
I am not surprised by this.
One of those weird sort of moments happening right here live. So we had a lot of different folks down there with different cars,
yeah.
But everybody sort of got a real kick out of seeing the new one, the 70 years, I guess you could say, most people just sort of said, "We're so glad that you're doing these again."
Mm.
Let's get on to our next bit, and the great question of the modern era: can you turn a car into a business?
Yes,
absolutely. I think next question. That one's just a complete easy one to answer.
I was just saying yes because I felt like it would help us into whatever it was we were going to talk about. I don't really know.
Well, I mean, you know, look, we've got Uber, we've got, you know, sort of we do have that. But as we've sort of touched on, food trucks.
Mm.
Food trucks are everywhere. They are, I guess one of the really, really amazing things about food trucks is there's that you can have, rather than being in a restaurant and being stuck in sort of one spot and paying rent and all those kind of things, a lot of these sort of entrepreneurs are sort of coming up with ideas of using their cars and things like that to travel around and to cook and prepare their food and coffees and things like that out of the back of their cars. And that means that they can go to different areas, they can do it all on the spot. And, you know, if thanks to the wonders of social media and digital technology, we know where they are. I actually had a chat with a guy called Dave Trevina, he is a owner of a business called Classic Coffee, and he serves premium blend coffee out of an old combi van. So have a listen to this.
Oh, it's so many different reactions. Mostly just they're stoked. They're pumped. They love the combi van. Get a lot of the old dogs want to chat about their youth.
Misspent youth.
Yeah, exactly. Going surf trips, going down the coast. I have a guy this morning even like showing me photos of his combi halfway in the water and stuff.
Wow.
Every day I get someone chatting about it. But it's awesome. get little kids, they don't even know what a combi is and they're pointing at it. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I want to see what this thing looks like. Holy hell.
Is that not the cleanest, most awesome looking combi you've ever seen?
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's got like a blue base with a white roof, and he's actually converted the roof part of the van into a hydraulic kind of lift out. So the whole top of the roof lifts up and over so that he can stand inside the van. And then he's put like a surfboard as the bar on the side, and then the coffee machine sort of pops out like onto the little ledge there so that he can serve people. And then the whole back wall of the combi van is just plastered with bean bags. That's very cool. Very cool.
It's a very cool office, isn't it?
Yeah. Geez, that wouldn't be awful, would it?
No. I'm a little bit jealous, actually.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised because you're just driving around giving people caffeine. So even if they're angry when they first arrive, they aren't after they take a couple of sips.
And also, I mean, you know, there is something cool about combis. They just make people happy.
They do.
You know, for whatever reason, they've got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
They're often, you know, multicolored and things like that.
They are.
You know, so yeah, just, you know, coffee and combis, it's awesome.
It was meant to happen. It's like a mythical wildebeest.
Yeah.
Like a fairy mixed with a leprechaun.
Wow. What kind of hellish creature are you thinking of?
Like, because leprechauns can give you things that are special and amazing, and then fairies are beautiful and nice to you.
Okay. All right. Well, then you've changed my mind. I was thinking of like some weird sort of winged kind of creature that, yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. We need to do another round of Out Geek Kurt. What are the top five selling cars of all time?
Ooh.
Well, let's start with number five. So this is the least amount sold.
As in of the top five?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, gosh. This is going to be a hard one.
You worked it out? Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, lay it on me.
I outgeeked you. Eat that. It's the VAZ 2101.
Right, okay.
Do you know what that no. That guy. You remember that guy?
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah,
the boxy dude.
That's, I mean, where was that sold?
I don't know. It actually looks like the kind of car that you draw when you're a kid. And you don't
it
really
does a
know
bit,
what
doesn't
else
it?
To do.
It looks a bit like the Homer.
It does look like the Homer. Okay, number four.
I'm going to go with a Toyota Corolla.
Really? Interesting. That would be incorrect. Number four is the Volkswagen Beetle that has sold over 23 million.
Okay, so the Beetle's number four. So would that mean that the Golf is number three?
He's good. That has sold over 30 million.
Mm.
Would you like to take a stab at number two? You've got one out of five so far.
Okay.
What do you think number two is? And it's sold over 40 million, to give you a little clue.
Ooh.
Little clue shmoo.
Do you know what? Because I know that the Beetle and the Golf have sold more, I don't know whether you know this, but the Passat is actually the most sold Volkswagen in our range. So really? I'm going to say Passat.
Well, sir, that would be incorrect. It's the Ford F-Series. They trumped your Passat.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
You sound a little bit disappointed, but you're trying to sound happy
for
them.
No, I am. Like, I am a little bit disappointed that we're not right up there. But the F-Series is actually that actually kind of makes a lot of sense because it is sold pretty widely. Not so wide that it's really sort of, you know, sold in Australia so much. But yeah okay.
What's I feel like I one? Just watched you have your beauty queen moment where you've just gotten runner-up to Miss Universe and you've just had to politely step aside and go, I just want world peace, while your, like, heart shatters. It's very cute. Okay, what do you think number one is?
No, I've got no idea. Lay it on me.
You said it before.
Oh, it was a Camry. Nope. The Corolla, sorry.
The Toyota Corolla, over 43 million.
Yep. That actually is not a surprise, because the Corolla's been has had several generations. We're actually just about to see a new generation land.
Really?
As well. Yeah.
Mm.
So that doesn't surprise me at all. That's incredible.
So does this mean I'm winning again now?
I think you're back on top. Definitely.
Yes.
Well, actually, no, we were tied before, so now you're ahead. Well and truly.
Yeah, I am. You know it.
Yep.
Does that sting a little?
Does a little bit, actually, now that I've sort of come to embrace my car nerdiness and say I am what I am, and, you know, and I'm not even a very good car nerd. So shame on me. There are car people out there listening at the moment just banging their heads on steering wheels and, shaking their fists angrily.
Damn
at track
you,
at
McGinnis!
Lines.
McGinnis!
You've let us down again.
You got me again, damn fool.
So, guys, thank you again for listening to another episode of More Than the Car podcast brought to you by Volkswagen. We hope that you have at least learned something, or even just sort of feeling a little bit more enlightened in your day. So we'll be back with another episode soon, but don't forget to head to the website and have a listen to the extended interviews there and have a look at some of the pictures that we've got. That'll be on your hub, or head to our website. So thank you again for listening. I'm Kurt McGinnis.
And I'm pretty sure I'm Heather Maltman, last time I checked.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yep, I am.
Yep. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.